So a lot of people ask me all the time, how is it that you do what you do being in your 40s? Well, it's a lot of hard work, but honestly, I got a lot of help. I've been going to Triple Threat Performance for my physical therapy needs for a few years now. I keep tearing this body down and they keep putting me back together again. And just recently, I joined their strength and conditioning program. And really, honestly, I don't think the mountains stand a chance this year. I feel stronger. I feel more flexible. I feel like I could go longer than I've ever had before in the past. So if you are in the Phoenix area and this sounds like something you might need or you want to up your game, check out Triple Threat Performance. That's ttpaz.com. ttpaz.com. Hey, I also want to give props to the Sneak Tech Sneak Boot. You heard me say it a million times. They're a game changer. And I'm not just saying it's not just lip service. They really are. They do what they're intended to do. And that is make a guy, woolly mammoth like myself, sound like a cat coming through the woods. And really just they're game changers. I think everybody should own a pair. It should be in your arsenal of weapons. And there is no other comparison out there. They're easy to put on, lightweight, easy to carry around with you. Don't take up a whole lot of weight and room in your backpack. It's almost foolish not to own a pair. So go check them out, Sneak Tech Sneak Boot. Hi, welcome to the interviews with the Hunting Masters. And today we are talking, well, it's our part two of our Elk Nut series. And we got Paul Metal on the phone with us again. And we are going to talk more about elk hunting because that's what elk nuts do. They talk about elk.
That's right.
All right. So unfortunately, last podcast, I had to cut you off. And we were just getting into some really good stuff. So, I want to continue down that road and,
you'll have to refresh my memory. So we know where we were at there.
Well, you know, I have some questions that I didn't get to that I want to address first. And then, I want to talk about, we started talking about emotion and we talked about, judging, you know, the temperature, so to speak, of the situation. And how to ramp it up or where to start, you know, always starting slow sometimes and not most of the time, which I think is what you were saying, is because it's easier to go from low to high intensity than it is to go from high back down to low.
Right. Like slow plan or slow start plan. Out
that's
aggressively.
That's where we left off with slow plan.
Okay.
I get this question all the time. We started touching on it a little bit. What's your approach when you know elk are in their beds, when you know they're already bedded down for the morning? What do you do differently to call to a bedded elk?
Well, it depends on the situation. I mean, if we're talking about, when you say bedded elk, I'm going to assume you're talking about a bull with cows. Is that right or no?
Yeah, bull with cows.
Okay, so if we have a bull with cows, does he have a hot cow? That's what I have to know. If he doesn't have a hot cow, I have to slow play the bull. If he does have a hot cow in the group, I can be aggressive with him if I feel like it. I just have to be a lot closer or... You see, and again, if a bull has a hot cow, you usually have multiple bulls around because they're competing for that hot cow. It's very rare where you find a bull with a hot cow and he's by himself with her and no other bulls in the area are aware of it. Mm-hmm. If so, you hit just at the right time before the other satellite showed up, and that's a really rare occurrence. Usually they're there, and that's what pulled you over there is you heard the calling all going on all the way to their bedding area. So if I have an aggressive bull, which means he has a hot cow in the group, and I want the herd bull, then I have to use herd bull tactics. If I don't care if I kill the herd bull because maybe I'm on over-the-counter hunt, and usually then I still want the herd bull anyway, but not everybody does, then I'm going to go straight to a breeding sequence, and the breeding sequence used by the herd bull is what's pulling those satellites over. You see, in addition to them constantly scent checking the area, the trails that they use to feeding and bedding, the water holes they use, these satellites are constantly scent checking the area. And I don't want you to think I'm getting off base from the question. I just want people to see the pieces of the puzzle, how it fits together. It's not like, oh, there's a bull with cows and there's a hot cow and there's satellites. Well, you know, a lot of people want to know how did they know? How do you know? Well, this is what happens in the elk world come September. These bulls, these satellites especially, they're very aware of the situation out there. And so they seek out these areas that these elk move to and from, or where they bed, feed, all this, and they're constantly scent checking these areas, looking for these hot cows, these cows to come into heat. And once they do catch the scent of it, just like a female dog emits a scent to male dogs in the neighborhood that you've never seen these dogs before, and they show up out of nowhere. They smell it. You know, nobody sent them a text. They smell it. And so this is what happens in the elk world as well as the deer world, everything. And so if I'm getting in that area and I know this group is over there and there's a hot cow in the group, I'm either going to let the herd bull call me to him, and I'm going to take it right to him and try to put him down right there. And because when I get in close enough within 150, 175 yards and I cow call, and I know this bull has hot cows because there's two or three bulls harassing him, and when he calls me, and he is, all these bulls are going to be interested, but I'm going to hear him call me because there's no way he's going to leave his cows to come and get me. So he's going to try to pull me over to the group as a new cow because he doesn't know me by my sound. He knows I'm a new elk in that area, and so do those satellites. So as he invites me to come over, that's an aggressive approach by a hunter. Extremely aggressive, because you have to go at that bull and you have to go out, and if you really want to sell it good, you have to respond as that cow with the sounds he expects to hear, because a cow will use a certain sound as she accepts that invite, and she's letting him know that she's coming to him. And so I'm going to use that sound as I go right to him and try not to get tunnel vision and not be aware of my surroundings, where maybe there's a satellite off to the side and I didn't even know it because he hasn't said anything, or cows or spikes. So I have to really watch that. But by doing that, I can get very close, and usually I can take that bull very close because I'm letting him know I'm coming and he's continuing to call me. Now, that's an aggressive approach when that will apply, meaning I need the wind and the cover. If I can't get the wind in the cover, but I can get closer, that's when I'm going to literally try to call that cow away from him. And so by calling the cow away from him, this is a good thing for me because usually he's the defense mechanism, John. And so he'll pull away from that little group and get between me and them, because now I'm a bull.
Right.
And so he's that dividing factor. He's not letting cows come my way, and he's not letting me get any closer. And it's easy to get a physical appearance when I raise my intensity or emotion of my sound. He knows I'm trying to call that cow, especially when a bull is going to use a couple of cow sounds, and at the same time he goes straight into his roundup type bugle or a short lip ball, which is he's directing his sound or his message to her. He's trying to pull her over there away from that group to him, because he doesn't want to try to fight the herd bull for her. He knows he can't already take her anyway, and so he's trying to draw her away. Well, all this obviously irritates the heck out of the herd bull, and especially when I'm inside that 100 yards. Oh my goodness. That's just, you know, and we've taken over 80 herd bulls on over-the-counter hunts. And so to say, how does, you know, Paul or Elknut know this? Because of so many times playing that game. But we don't play it every time. Sometimes, like I said, it's the cow calling. It's we're searching and seeing what's going to help us, give us the best odds to take that bull right there. So if I have an aggressive situation, I am going to use one of those two types or something thereabouts or similar. But if he's not hot, meaning there's no hot cow, and I am aware of where they're bedding, as you mentioned, I know that there's something bedded over there, I know I have to slow play that herd bull to pull him my way, because he's not vocal, or he's not vocal enough that I can slip in and get a direction on him without bumping into something else accidentally. So my strategy then is to pull him my way, because I don't know where he is. He's not saying anything,
Right,
but
right.
I can still call him over. And I won't have much trouble calling him over either. I just have to be patient and play my game and play my slow play right there, And this has taken years to figure out, John. Don't think people just walk out there and do it.
No.
You know, it takes time until you, and then you have to see it happen. And then you start building your confidence that, hey, this is what's triggering them. And it triggers bull after bull after bull. It's not like one in five or one in 10. It's like almost every one of them are starting to show interest, and give them the time, and you play your slow play out very smart. You play it realistically with believable sounds and not too much of it. You see, there's not a lot going on there, but every little sound you give him, making him, and what I'm doing is I'm building a foundation with my sounds to convince him that I have a cow coming into heat next to me. And, you know, as we've talked before, the only way that another bull knows a cow's coming into heat is the sounds another bull uses or his display in action. Because a cow, no matter how much you want to believe it, she makes no sound that alerts a bull that she's coming into estrus or heat. She makes
Right.
nothing, zero. It's the bull that does. And this is how you tell if you have a hot cow in the presence of another bull. That's how you can tell. You can tell by his sounds. And that's what I use. This is exactly how I evaluate a situation. And then I go ahead and tailor my calling. And when I say tailor my calling, a lot of times guys are saying, "Well, you trying to call every elk?" Well, you know what? Yes, I do. I really do. Because I'm that confident in it. Now, a lot of people aren't, because all they know is a few sounds. They got a couple cow sounds out there, got a couple bull sounds, and then you say, you got somebody with you and say, "Hey, would you bugle? I want you to bugle. Let's see how you're doing." And they're bugling and they're cow calling, and they sound great. And say, "Okay, I want to know, what are you saying with this specific sound?" They have no idea.
Right.
None. They just have no clue, but they sound really good in their elk sounds, but they don't understand the
What it is that they're
language or
saying.
the, oh, no way. And a bull or a cow changes his or her intensity or emotion behind each sound, and this is what sends the message to other elk. And once you start seeing the elk communicate amongst themselves, like I have for, you know, nearly 40 years, and a study of it, not just hunting season, you start seeing that there really is a communication, and one sound changes from another, you see, or the definition of it, by as they change the emotion or the intensity. It's just like we talked last time, when you have a cow mewing and she's just doing social talk and she's just mewing back and forth. But if she's not receiving a satisfactory response with the group or young ones that are in the group because they're out playing left and right in the timber and she can't find them, she raises her volume or raises her intensity because she's not receiving a response with her normal social cow talk. And so she raises it like, "Kids, where are you?" You see, she's raising it, not like she's having a conversation with them and they're only a few feet away. And if she gets no response, she gets a little louder and a little more demanding. Hey, you're not answering me. Where are you? Get back over here." And she changes her tone, and she'll speed it up, her calling. It gets a little more rapid. And that's where you can start seeing the change in her emotion or intensity, which is sending out a different message, just like you would to your own kids if they weren't in view or you couldn't find them. You raise your voice. Can you imagine if you lost them in the mall and you're trying to find them and they're little kids? You're raising your voice, you know. This is what she's doing because they've gotten out of earshot. And so, and bulls do the same thing. And so once you understand this and you hear it, without ever saying anything, maybe you're heading into the woods and you hear this communication going on. It's like, okay, I can tell what's going on just by the sound she's using. And I'm doing the same thing with the bulls. And this is what allows us to literally, without no kidding, call 9 out of 10 bulls in. And my best record ever was 15 out of 15. And
Wow.
you can do this on over-the-counter bulls that are getting hunted by all you do is tailor your sounds to their need. That's it. Or listen to them. And then as you see what their need is, now if I hear a cow trying to call other cows back because I'm not calling to them, not in that situation, because I don't want to shoot the cow anyway, but she's giving me a direction to get over there and to get very close, because it's very good chance there's a bull close by. And so I'm going to get over there, slip in silently, evaluate, try to get eyes on everything around there, keep the wind in my favor. You see, and that's what I'm doing. I'm not calling in that situation, because why should I give myself away at that time when there's no reason for it? You know, and it's the same thing when you're dealing with bulls. You know, whether a bull's given a challenge, You have to understand what that means. What is a challenge? It means it's a warning. It's an intimidation to stay away or back. Can he use that same bugle toward a cow? Yes, same thing. Even though he's trying to keep a bull away, it can also show frustration or being upset with the situation. It doesn't just show intimidation or challenge, but to another bull it can. But see, he can use that same intensity toward a cow that's not paying attention to his demands. Just like you could yell at your wife and you can yell at your kid. But when you're yelling at your kid, it's usually a little bit different than you're yelling at your wife, even though you're still showing the same frustration or anger if an action isn't taking place that you've asked for or you need. You see what I mean? And this is what they're doing. So just because a bull can give a challenge or a rough abrasive bugle to a cow or a bull, it can have just a little bit different a meaning to them. Because he's not trying to fight a cow. He's not trying to do that. But he could be upset with her lack of response, you know, physically, if she just keeps feeding out and she's hot, especially when she's coming into heat and she's not paying attention to stay closer to the group. Mm-hmm. And that's when you start seeing that, you know, when he starts coming in with the chuckles. Then he starts coming in with a harsher chuckle, which could be a grunt, because he's really reprimanding her or him. You see, and that's what you're listening for. So don't think that elk make one sound for the ladies and one sound for the men. No, they're the same sound, but you just have to pay attention of what stream of the encounter you're in to tell what's going on, so that when you apply a sound, you're fitting in. You see, you're right there with them. They understand what you're saying. You're not going to come out with a location bugle when there's a real serious situation going on there. Wouldn't make a bit of sense to them. And you can shut them up real quick by doing that, real quick. And they know something's not right, especially over-the-counter elk that are seeing a lot of pressure. So, you know, it's those little things that you look for. It's like a location bugle. You hear a bull giving a location bugle. If I asked you right now, John, how do you know a bull is giving a location bugle? What are the things that you look for as an elk hunter? How do you know it's not any other type of bugle? It's a location bugle. Do you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Oh, no, it's fine.
So this is the hunting world. Go ahead.
Basically, it's a really long, drawn-out bugle, like no growl, no chuckle, just from low to high pitch, ascending scale, reaching a real sharp high note and holding it and dropping off at the end. Yeah, that's basically, yeah, a location bugle.
Okay, but when basically. Is he giving it? How do you know? I'm hearing a location bugle right here. So I know what to do next. That's what you need to know right there. How do you know? What are the things that you see? As he's bugling, what are you looking for to say, this is a bull looking for other elk, especially cows? How do you know that? Okay, let me help you out.
Yeah, I'm maybe not understanding what you're trying to ask me, but I think I know where you're going with it. When he's looking for other cows, when he's looking for other elk, he's usually one by him. He's by himself, mm-hmm. and a lot of times he's either traveling or he's staying perfectly still in one spot, and just keeps calling from the same spot to see if elk will come to him. Or respond back to him and give him a, hey, oh, we're over here type, you know, response back.
Okay.
But I'm not understanding it.
No, you're understanding it. You know, you're right in there. You're partially right. Yes. Here's the difference. You just mentioned two different situations right there, not one. Right. One of them is advertising himself. Mm-hmm. Another one is location bugling. Okay. If you are looking for something and you are trying to locate, what do you do? Say we're in the woods now. We're talking elk hunting here. You are moving. You are looking. He's not nothing answering you here, so you keep moving to the next ridge, or you keep moving, especially for a hunting partner. You are on the move. Just like you said, this bull's on the move calling. When a bull is on the move calling, he is locating. He's not advertising himself. He is purely locating. And what is he looking for? He's not only looking for other elk, because we're talking about the rut. He is looking for the group with hot cows. Let's say he receives a response of a bull that just gives him an answer because they know he's looking. If there's no hot cow in there, he spends little to no time with that bull. He's on the move looking for the groups with a hot cow, just like a big buck is looking for the does that are coming into estrus. He's doing the same thing. And nothing hitting heat in there, he moves to the next group. This is what this bull is doing. Yeah, he can stop and ding around with a couple other bulls for a while, but when they're in search of, they're on the move. Now, you have a bull that's calling from the same spot, same position. He is now advertising himself to that spot to draw animals, especially cows, over to his position. This is how they build their harem. Bulls, very rare, are on the move going down every draw looking for a cow, trying to find one. No, they stay in one spot. And they call, and they call, and they call. And they can also do this. A bull can introduce himself into an area, and he will sit there and advertise himself with nothing else answering him. And he's just calling. He'll call every few minutes, maybe every 10 minutes, and he can do this for hours and never move. That's a bull advertising his position, trying to draw elk to it. The bull in search of, he's looking for hot cows. He could care less for a shake your hand thing. So the best way to call that bull in is not giving him another location bugle, because he could care less about that. He's looking for the bull that answers back with a detrimental response, a hard grunt or two, and a scream of a challenge to stay back. This shows him there's a hot cow in his group. That's what he's looking for. So he, believe it or not, that's exactly what's going on out there. And so when you find a bull that's traveling, don't give him a location bugle back. You can, and maybe he's going to come, but 9 times out of 10, he won't. He's just going to keep moving on. Give him what he's looking for. He's looking for a hot cow. You could sit there and cow call all day long, and he may never come your way. Maybe one bull will, but go with what tells him there's a hot cow there. And that detrimental response or that challenge to tell him, stay back, that is what sells him right there. So your odds just raised of a physical visit from that bull who was locating bugling. You see, he wasn't challenging. We knew there was no hot cow, or there'd be multiple bulls going in that one spot. So when a person's using a location bugle, yes, he's looking for other elk, but you're usually getting a detrimental response back. That's how I find most of my herd bulls. I'm sure Corey does the same thing. You're moving and calling, moving and calling, moving and calling, and when you get that angry sound, almost as much intensity as can be behind it, you know you've got a bull that has a cow either in heat or she's very close to it. Now, a bull that has cows with no cows in heat would not give you that response. He could care less about your existence in the area. This is what I'm evaluating when I'm out there. Now, if I get a bull that just gives me a lazy little bugle back, it doesn't mean he doesn't have any cows, but he responded, but there's no fire behind it, no intensity. I know I'm going to have to slow play that bull. I have to slow play him to get him in. The other bull, I don't have to slow play. But if I'm ever unsure of a situation, it's like in the middle, I'm going to start with a slow play like you said in the beginning. I can always ramp it up, and I can do it quickly, you see, or I can hold back. But I have to listen to the elk. He's the one telling me what I can get away with and what I better not try to get away with, because I can tell by his temperature of where he is. And so, and of course, you know, this comes with years of experience, years of failures, you know, I mean, it just does. And then you start seeing how to treat these individual situations or individual bulls, and you're going to call them in. You will call one in after another and not think, well, this bull doesn't want to play today, I'm going to move on and find another. I don't think that way at all. I want every bull in. Mm-hmm. And you know, we usually do pretty good at doing that.
Hey guys, just a real quick break. Pardon the interruption. I want to talk to you about becoming a patron of the show. It's super easy. You just go to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters on my Podbean account, and at the top right-hand corner, you'll see a green button that says Become a Patron. Or if you're using the Podbean app, it's right there. Just click on the button, Become a Patron, from any of the episodes. I really go out of my way not to bombard you with a bunch of ads and clutter up the episodes. I really like to keep it as educational and as valuable as possible. I'd like to add to that value by adding some bonus episodes that are going to be just for the patrons only. I'm going to release a few that are strictly for those of you who have contributed to the podcast. It really goes a long way, and I want to say it again, that even $1 a month, pledging $1 a month, $12 a year may not seem like a whole lot, but it means the world to me. It helps me take care of the cost of producing this show, and I really appreciate it, and I'd appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening, and let's get back to this episode.
Awesome. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, your approach is...
But understand this.
It's got a lot of reasoning behind it.
Well, it has a lot of success behind it.
Yeah.
And that's where the reasoning comes from. And so what I've done, and what I try to help people appreciate is, okay, if you're going to call and you go, well, how do you know if a bull is low in intensity or mid-range or high or anywhere in between? This is why I have applied names to them, because it's hard to say, well, if you hear a bull with low emotion or low intensity, then you do this. And you're like, well, wait a minute. And that's why I try to put a name to them and say, okay, this is what we consider, which most people do, a challenge or a location or a roundup bugle. Or this is a bull where he's given a couple of cow calls and then he bugles right behind it. He's trying to call that cow away. You see? And so instead of saying, oh, the emotion's this or that, this is the kind of sound you're looking for. And here's the level of emotion that you're at. A lethargic, lazy bugle is going to really be, no doubt, a slow play. You have to slow play that bull. If you cow call and a bull gives you a roundup bugle, okay, this is good. You're going to get this bull to continue to talk back to you by doing the right things. Am I going to bugle that bull right there? Absolutely not. This bull is trying to call me to him with a roundup bugle. You see, and he's not challenging me, and he had no reason to. I cow called, he bugled back. He's telling me to come over. So I know he's not challenging me. It's a roundup. He's going to give you a short bugle with a little bit of an ending to it. You're going to see his emotion isn't a high location bugle. It's not an abrasive, it's nothing like that. It's an in-between bugle, and it's a short one, and he's giving you the position he's in. And that's all he's telling you. And he'll encourage you to come as you call and go his way. He'll probably get the bugles a little closer together, and all of a sudden you're going to hear him give those ape-like chuckles. And this is showing his encouragement and his excitement at the same time as you get closer and closer. And 9 times out of 10, when I use nothing but cow sounds going at a bull, he will start raking as I get very close. He doesn't do it generally at a longer distance. But once I break that 100-yard mark, I can start hearing him. And he's raking and raking. He's displaying for me. He's trying to show off and encourage me to keep coming and show her what he has to offer. And so, you know, these are things I expect to see a lot of times when I'm using just the cow sounds and going right at him. It also tells me I'm working with a bull with cows because he's not coming my way. He continues to stay there and call and call, and I can tell he's not breaking the distance. That tells me he has at least one cow, if not a handful, that he doesn't want to leave, and so he's encouraging me to come over to him, which is the normal thing to do in the elk world. The cows will come over his way. Yeah, sometimes they're stubborn, but they don't sit back at 125 yards and continue to call, wanting the bull to do all the work. No. When at all possible, take the game to him, and you'll notice as you get closer and closer, this guy is he's so relaxed. He's nothing. He's just waiting for the cow to show up. And by making noise with calling, I always make sure I'm breaking and popping things, rustling brushes. I make my way to him. And this is what I do. I try to make it natural. If you've ever called elk in, when they come in and they're not suspicious of anything, they're the noisiest dang things that you've ever heard. But yeah, when they're a little bit suspicious, a little bit of a red flag, they're unsure. I mean, you could watch like you had eyes of an eagle, and the next thing you know, you turn to your right, and there's a bull standing there 15 yards away. How did he get there? Because he was a little bit unsure of the situation, so he didn't just come in, boom, 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 boom. So they come, you've probably been there, John, and they can slip in so silent, and you're like, how in the hell did he do that? But they do. So right calling, making a move, and they get excited, and they keep calling. That to me, is one of the most aggressive things a hunter can do. Is to go his way as they invite or ask you to do it. And when it comes to calling, I'll tell you what puts most of these bulls on the ground for us. It's defensive action. I need to get the bull on the defense. If I don't get him on the defense, my odds of seeing that bull and putting him on the ground have gone way, way down. In other words, I need to make him do what I want him to do. But in most cases, you'll find that hunters have the bull doing the, doing to them what he wants him to do. That's right. Exactly what happens, and that's why guys have so many hangups. And they hear that nervous grunt sound so many times as the bull gets to a certain spot, because the hunter has stayed back, and he thinks it's the bull hanging up most of the time, but it's really the hunter who's hanging up, because he's the hunter is not listening and communicating and doing what the elk is asking it. So I'm listening for that roundup bugle. I'm listening for that challenge. I'm listening for any little thing he tells me. You see, I can tell when he's inviting me or when he's not, and if he gives a lip ball real quick, I know I got to rush him. I got to bull rush this bull. I have no choice. He's gathering his cows to get out of there because he's not trying to call me in. And so, you see, I'm listening to all these little things, and it all will add to your success. It's not just an elk bugle or an elk sound out there. It to me, it's words being said, so to speak, and I'm trying to read it, and the closer I get, the easier I can hear him and read the situation and apply what I feel is going to give me a close encounter with that bull.
Now, I know we had a little difficulty on the last podcast, and we kind of tried it real quick before we got on here. I want to try to see if we can do these sounds. And what I'm thinking is if you put them, if you back up from the mic, it probably won't clip.
Okay.
So we'll
so if we did if we did some sounds.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking about doing is maybe – Let's go through the hierarchy. Let's start with the location bugle. Then
okay. I'll do a low-keyed one just so hopefully the microphone picks it up okay and that doesn't dismiss it.
Yeah. I think if you're not right on top of it, it might work.
Yeah.
Because when you did that low one before,
okay.
Just to test it before, it worked fine. Now, real quick, on the broadcasting bugle, it's the same sound. It's just he just has a locating, but he's just staying in one spot, right?
Again, what you're looking for, you know, you have to appreciate, you walk up in an area and there's a bull and he's bugled and you're going, oh, all right. And so you go, to me, I don't bugle back. Not right then. Mm-hmm. I listen. I sit there and wait. If I knew about where it came from, I keep heading his way, but I'm not running. I'm just making my way to him and hope he bugles again. And when he does, it's like, oh, good deal. And I keep making my way easier and easier. No big hurry. Wind in my face. Good cover. And he bugles a third time and a fourth and a fifth. I'm going to go to that bull if I can and try to put him down through his own sounds with no calling.
Right.
But so much of this dark timber, you'll notice that last 80, 90 yards even, it's so noisy. You just can't get through it without them hearing you. And if they hear you, you're either going to hear give you a nervous grunt or they're going to give you a growl. Those are one of the two sounds you're going to hear. The growl means he heard you and he wants to know what you are, or he may even feel it's another bull, and so he's warning it. But when you hear the growl and you respond back with nothing, that bull's out of there. He knows there's a possible threat there, and he won't hang around. He's gone. So you have to give him a satisfying response right there that you're an elk. The nervous grunt is pretty obvious. He hears you or he's seen movement. He's unsure of what he's hearing or what he saw, and so he wants a visual aid or, again, a satisfying response. But he can hang around with that sound, whereas the growl, I've noticed over the years, when they give that growl and you say nothing and you're just chalking it up to another elk sound, oh, he's just right there. I'm going to sneak in the rest of the way. He is gone. He's out of there. And so I listen for all these little things, you see, and this is what an elk will do. And if it's, and he can even cow call me if he thinks I'm a cow there. Oh yeah, many times we'll have a bull just give a cow call. And not only will he cow call, he may give a low whine behind it. And so I'm listening for these things to, it separates, okay, that's not a cow, that's a bull right there. And because a lot of times when he cow calls, he adds another little sound to it. And those are, I do the same thing. When I move in on him and I'm trying to work a hot cow, sometimes I'll get real subtle with my sound and I'll throw the cow sound out and follow it up with a bugle with no hesitation. He knows it's me. He knows it's the bull. And it's things like that just unravel them because it's to them it's another elk. How many hunters really do that? No, they'll cow call. Nothing happens. Maybe they'll throw a bugle over, you know, but they're separating it, and you don't want to do that when it's crunch time. And you're hunting some of these elk. Not every elk, you know, responds in the same way. But I'm feeling the situation out as I'm going. But that location bugle or a lazy lethargic bugle, You know, that's kind of where a guy should start, because you know when you hear that lazy bed bugle or hot day bugle, you need to slow play that bull. If you're going to hear the location bugle, you know you're probably going to have to play catch up, unless you can give enough reason with your sounds that he's going to come over. And one of the things I've noticed when I use that challenge, I like hitting with a grunt and a challenge at the when I hear the location, you need to be prepared to wait, because don't get antsy thinking, oh, he didn't come in 5-7 minutes. He's not coming. No. Sometimes he'll take 15, 20 minutes, and they say nothing because he's sneaking in to scent check the area. He wants to smell that cow that you're being defensive over. He doesn't have to bugle his way to you. If he does, that's wonderful, but don't expect it. And this is where people, you know, they don't understand that. They haven't hunted elk long enough or been in that situation, even if they've been hunting 20 years, and unraveled that little mystery. So it takes them time. All you've given them is that direction now. You see, it's the same as if you heard a bull giving a challenge. Are you going to run at him bugling, scream and scream? No, if he bugles a few times, you're like, I'm sneaking in on this guy. Well, that's what these bulls are doing. They're slipping in silence. So be very patient, because he's coming. You've given him a reason to come and visit your spot. And sometimes I'll go ahead and give another one if I don't hear him in a minute, and I'll move up. I'll check the wind and move it maybe 30, 35 yards, but I never go further away from where I originally bugled, because too many times they've come on a string straight where they heard the first sound. And here I am 60 yards away thinking they're going to try to go downwind and do all this stuff and second guessing them, and I mess up. So now if I am going to move from my original position, I make sure I never go out of bow range or out of sight of it, because he can come in as I try to second guess him thinking he's going to do that, and here he comes the other direction. So remember that as a hunter, that don't find that out the hard way like I have a few times. It made me think. So really, don't get too far away as a solo hunter. Now, if there's two of you, that's fine. You can leave one hunter there in one move and try to pull them by or keep them busy. You know, that's a different story. But as a solo hunter, make sure you're always within a shooting distance of where that bull could come in, even though you hope he comes in over here, because they don't always follow the little trails, let me tell you. They'll just come sometimes just whatever the shortest path is or the least resistance. So on the bugle, how about if we do kind of a lethargic, lazy bugle? So people, because hunters hear this all the time, and they don't know what to do with it, because most of the time you only hear it once, maybe twice, and he'll never say nothing again the rest of the day. But that is such a killable bull right there. And so here is a slow playing situation if I hear this sound right here. Okay, I'm going to take the headset off and do what you said, because I think it's a good idea here. Okay?
All right, let's try it.
Okay, did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear
anything.
You're
kidding me. That was so low key, then right into the, I mean, you know, I was over it maybe within 18 inches.
Oh, man, that's
you'll have
crazy.
To do them, John.
All right, I'll try.
And with no bugle and a reed in my mouth, you said you can hear this. I mean, it's something like this right here, kind of like I say, not a lot of intensity. I mean, it's really nothing, and I know it sounds totally different from no tube and stuff, but it's just
I'll
a really lazy
you.
Bugle, no real, no, on a volume of 1 to 10 to 3. Yeah, it doesn't even need to be that big, because that was pretty deep. I mean, they're lazy. I mean, they're just squealing it out, man. Try it again. Kind of a... I mean, that's all they'll do sometimes. Yeah, leave the growl out. No growl. You have a hard time leaving that out, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you want just a high note, which means you're giving it no voice inflection. You know, and that's about it right there, too. You see,
okay.
and you're... There's nothing written in stone there, because of the fact, you know, you don't know if you're hearing a 1.5 to a 9.5-year-old bull. And so even though they're saying maybe have that lazy little bugle, it can vary. you know, because of the matureness or the lack of it. So there's really no way to make a mistake. But mm-hmm. if you can stay a little wimpier sounding, you're just showing that you have the youth part of you. Okay. And that's really what's going on out there. And most of those bulls you're hearing are 2.5 to 4.5. That's what most of them are. And if you have 5.5 to 7.5 year old bulls where you hunt, you're one lucky guy. Unless you have a draw tag, of course, that's pretty regular, but not over the counter. Most of them bulls don't make it to 6.5 with bow seasons and rifle seasons and just a lot of hunting pressure and predators. So, but you see a sound like that, that is going to dictate to me as a hunter, I got to slow play this bull. This bull is not even close to being excited. His testosterone level is very low. I am going to have to convince him very slowly, that's the slow play part, that I have a hot cow over here. I have one coming into heat. And he's really not even going to hear my cow sound for probably almost 10 minutes. He's not going to hear one cow sound from me. He's only going to hear a bull sound from me. And I'm going to, let's say me and you are walking up the mountain and we heard that sound and it was September the 1st. And we heard that thing a quarter mile away. We head up and we're like, man, we got to be within 300 yards. We haven't heard another sound. He's still right over there. I'm going to sit there and wait with you. And I'm going to say, he's going to bugle again. You just wait. He'll bugle again. And we wait. And all of a sudden, he does. Mm-hmm. And he gives us the wimpiest, I mean, nothing. He's just feeling his oats. He's not really communicating with anything. He's feeling the rut coming on. His testosterone levels are starting to change his mood. And that's what happens when you hear those little lazy nothing bugles. They're kind of feeling it, you know, like you yawning almost. Seriously, that's all that's going on. And so when he does that, now after I got a good idea where he is, I'm going to wait 5 or 6 minutes, and then I'm going to give him a bugle a little bit more than he gave me, a little bit. And, of course, that's going to get his attention. He's not going to come, but he's just going to get his attention. And so I'm going to stay right there, and I'm not going to move. I'm going to wait and wait. If he doesn't bugle again in 7 or 8 minutes, I'm going to do it again. And that is how I just cemented how I'm going to kill that bull right there. He knows I didn't move. He knows I'm not threatening his position. He knows I'm not being aggressive toward him. That is his demise right there. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to end up calling him in. So now I have to continue to slow play him. Now I'm going to wait a couple minutes. And I'm going to throw a couple cow sounds out. Very low. I know he's going to hear it because he already knows I'm there. I planted that seed. And little by little, I'm going to add another little sound or two, and I'm going to start raking. No bull sounds, nothing. I'm just going to start raking. He's going to hear all this. He knows what I'm doing. He knows I'm displaying for that cow right there. There's no question in his mind what I'm doing. I've got his interest. And so I'm convincing myself I have his interest. I have to tell myself this. But I'm not calling him. I'm only talking to my little present situation here, this cow. And I'm going to ramp it up slowly, ramp it up slowly. And the next time he bugles, and he will, you're going to notice he has a lot more intensity to it. He's going to try to call that cow away from me. And I know he is. He's going to give me a roundup bugle. That's what he's going to do. He's going to give me a short little roundup. I mean, not me, the cow. He's going to try to call her over. Well, the minute he does that, I'm going to bugle over the top of him. That shows him without doubt I'm being defensive, and I have a cow that's either coming, just showing signs of estrus, or she's in. He doesn't know. And so I'm going to show him I don't want him coming over here. Stay back. And when I do that, that will put him on his feet so fast. That's it. He's done. But it's still going to take him 15 minutes to come down, and I know it is. So I got to play it. And so now as I go ahead and make a few more cow sounds, and he bugles back, and now I got him bugling much more frequently. I've done this many, many years, many, many, countless bulls. And this is what happens. He starts bugling more frequently. Now I take my cow sound when I do use it, and I try to call him over to me because I'm not really – I can't go. I'm with this bull, so I'm going to use the contact buzz. The contact buzz asks that bull to come over. There's no other sound I can really do that has a demand to it. I can't give him a regathering sound. I mean, it just doesn't make sense in the situation. I have to call him to me, telling him I want him to come over here. And so that's the sound that a cow will use. And so when you want him to make the move, and when I do, he will answer it again, and I'm going to cut him off. And each time I'm going to raise my intensity with my little bit of a challenge. I'm not giving him everything. I'm doing it little by little, little by little, little by little, until I've got him bugling every 10 seconds. This is what he does. And the next thing you know, you took a bull all the way on cold, starting with a slow play. 25 minutes later, whatever it is, and you've raised his temperature at least to 3/4, and now he's firing on all cylinders. That bull is going to come to you. And now I've increased the reiki, and I've increased a few sounds. I'm pawing the ground. Now I'm starting to throw pants in. Anytime a bull pants, and I'm hoping he pants, it shows excitement for the situation. You could be in a confrontation with another bull, and they can use a pant. You can have a cow right there and use a pant. It only denotes excitement on the bull's part. And so you'll hear him just give those, and then he may give a few chuckles or just a short little scream behind it, and it shows his excitement over it. You see, very few hunters ever do anything like this. And as you do it, it just continues to increase his confidence that this is a real situation. And as I do that, here he comes. I can hear things breaking, hear things popping. The next thing I know, he's 50 yards away and he's raking and raking and raking. He is trying to display for the cow, and at the same time, we're sizing each other up because I will do the same thing. And this is what's going on there. I mean, this is your chance to kill that bull right there. And he can continue to come forward. Sometimes if there's two of us, I will leave a hunter there and I'll start cow calling and give a couple of bugles and I'll walk away from it. I'll start moving real slow, giving a few of those irate cow sounds, and I'm moving like I'm hooking her, making her go with me. But I'm moving slow, just really causing a little ruckus there and leaving the shooter right there. And you'd be surprised how many times that bull just comes racing right in. And it's little things like that, you see, but I didn't start with it. I had to play the game. Like, okay, you're getting too close, bull. I don't want a fight. I don't want to confront. I already got the cow. I'm going to start moving away from it. And that's what they'll do. And see, this is the real elk world. They're not all trying to beat each other's brains in with their horns. Sometimes they're happy with what they have. And this guy's unhappy with what he doesn't have. And right. That is how you start pulling that 175-yard bull down that mountain all the way right up to your feet. And as a matter of fact, my son killed that one with a longbow last year. That's exactly was the sequence I used right there on that herd bull. He had, I think he had 5 cows or whatever it was. But I brought that bull in from the laziest bugle you ever heard on the mountain. Nothing. It was almost 10, 12 minutes later he made a second bugle. And I knew what he was doing. I knew his game. I just played it and backed off and played it and played it. And like I say, I just incorporated a little at a time, little at a time, little at a time until I brought him all the way down that mountain. And, yeah, he came all the way, that full 175 yards. And awesome. I forget what Paul shot him with. His first shot, I think, was 30 yards. Remember, that was the bull that I had to recall in a second time because he wounded him on the first shot. So I called him back in. 40 minutes later, I called that bull right back in, and that's when he killed him with it. But the point is that that's how you slow play a bull. Because he bugles, it doesn't mean you come out with a couple cow calls or a challenge over the top. You'll run him off. He's not ready. You didn't get him to the aggressive state first, and then let him have it. You put the pedal to the metal way too quick. So, you know, for guys that are hunting a lot of over the counter and they see this little scenario I'm showing you every single year they go out, they come across that and they don't know what to do with it. And they walk away from it because they think the bull lost interest.
Can you do the roundup bugle? Now, I just want to clarify this. What you call a roundup bugle, I think I've heard, or I think it's being called by other guys who as the bull calling cows bugle, correct?
It's the same thing. I have it even in the playbook as a bull calling cows bugle because
people don't get confused.
Where do you think they got it?
Yeah.
They got it from me. I mean, I'm the one that came up with all these, and now they say this and that, and that's okay. It's because it's teaching other people.
Oh, yeah. I'm not trying to take it away from you, Paul. I know it's been out. People have been talking about it for the last few years.
But let's get one thing straight. The roundup bugle is not the same one. The roundup bugle is around – no, like Joel Turner and stuff that's saying things of that nature, that's a lip ball.
Okay.
That's the lip ball bugle.
I'm just trying to decipher – what you are calling
a roundup bugle
versus what he is calling. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Just so I know, more for myself.
All right. So now here's what we need to know. You know, this is how you evaluate things. Is the roundup bugle as intense and demanding and urgent as a lip ball?
No.
No, not even close.
No.
That's why they're two different sounds. As a bull increases, if a bull goes to a roundup bugle and I'm cow calling him and he gives me a roundup bugle and I'm not coming fast enough, like your kid's not coming fast enough, you raise your voice and there's more intensity. you know, take out the garbage. I told you 10 minutes ago to take that garbage out. You said the same thing, but right. more intensity, more fire. And that's where the lip ball comes in, because you didn't come up on the Roundup bugle. You didn't come over here like I asked you to. You know, 8 minutes have come by and 20 cow calls later from you, you're still not there. So they get demanding, and that's when they fire the lip ball off. You see, and that's where the urgency comes in. If you don't show up after that lip ball within just a minute or two, they're out of there. They know something's wrong, because in the real elk world, that cow would have finally came when she was, you know, when it became insistent like that. Just like your kid says, oh, crap, I'm going to go take the garbage out before I get my butt licked. And that's what happens. So a Roundup bugle is no more than, I heard you, come on over here. That's what that is. The lip ball bugle is well beyond, I heard you, I already know. No, they're familiar with the situation, and now they're becoming insistent. So
can you try the round the bugle with just your reed, with just your diaphragm?
Yeah, you are almost making it, actually. Okay. And let's see if it'll pick it up with just the reed. And it's a very simple sound. Remember, the location bugle is more of a long, drawn out.
Right.
Really no intensity, and that little lazy lethargic bugle, bed bugle, is more of a moan or a whine. It's a bugle, but it's more of a, you know, lazy kind of a, you could tell behind it, it just like a big yawn. That's all those are, those bed or lazy lethargic hot day bugles, no cows in. Okay, a Roundup bugle is like, oh, I heard you over there. Hey, come on over here. So he ramps it up a little bit, you see, that, and it's shown in his bugle. And that's what he's doing. And so his bugle is more of a, you know, like this. You see, he heard you. Did you hear it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I wonder if it'll do it through the two. Did you hear that?
I did, but it sounded like you bumped the microphone when you did it. So
okay, you do it on your end. You heard me with the reed. Do it with your bugle, because your bugle's working good. You notice I give no growl in it. It's just a little high pitch, and you go, no growl like that. Lower. I mean, anything like that right there. That was it. Exactly. And you know, each bull can show that sound a little bit differently. But that's it. That's the length of it. And that's the intensity behind it right there. It doesn't really get any much more dramatic, unless maybe he gives you a second and third one and you're not paying attention. He might throw a hair volume. But you're hearing that sound. That's it. That's not a lip ball, not a challenge, not a location bugle, not a lazy lethargic bugle. It's a Roundup. And when he responds to your cow call, if people are unsure out there when they're calling and all you've done is cow call and you hear a bugle, that's what he's using. It's the Roundup. It may be his version, but it's the Roundup bugle. He's telling you to come on over. He's not telling you to get the heck out of there. He's interested. And why? Because he doesn't know who you are. They know all the cows around him, all the bulls, sound, sight, and smell. He hears your sound. He has no idea who you are. So he's interested in bringing you over. Why? He wants to scent check you. He wants to know if you're coming into heat or not. Had no other reason. You're not going to call him in May doing that, or June, or July, or January. He could care less. But this is the rut. So when he hears this new cow, this possible new recruit, he wants to scent check you. That's the only reason he's calling you over there, for no other purpose whatsoever. So remember, that's what's going on. And so we as a hunter, sometimes once we understand these things, we start putting the right emotion or sound behind our cow call. If we need to show the invite sound, we're going to him, or if we're trying to call him with a contact, you can put that feeling behind it. When you're giving that buzz, you were doing the buzz, and the buzz is like this. Well, imagine if the cow is showing more interest, she does this. And she will. She's showing more excitement behind it. Yeah, she's showing her excitement. She's not doing one every 4 seconds. And there you go. You see, she might start slow, then all of a sudden she increases, just like the bull can increase his Roundup bugle, and maybe follow it with chuckling, real light chuckling, like he's yearning. He's asking you, come on over here. That's what he's doing. Folks, read the intensity for the situation you're in and the sound you're sharing with him. Because that's now, if you were to share a bugle with him right over the top, do you think he's going to give you the Roundup bugle and a nice little light chuckle right there? Heck no! He's going to be much more abusive or abrasive and going, whoa, wait a minute. This is a whole new situation. And he's going to give you more of that bugle. Give him that little aggressive bugle you just did. That was awesome. That's what you're going to hear right there. You're going to hear that, and it's going to tell you, like, oh, is he talking to the cow or the bull now? Talking to the bull. You better stay back. You know, the cow can come because I've already tried calling her, but he's warning you to stay back. You see, and that's the little thing you get going right there. And as soon as he does that, if I have the opportunity, man, I do not let him finish. I come right over the top of him real quick. And that right there usually will get him right on the move. And if it doesn't, I try to, you know, I'll encourage him. I'm going to call him over because now I want to see him. And that's how me as a hunter, I've had bulls do the same thing. I'll hit him with a single nervous grunt, which is asking for a visual. I want you to come, and then hit him really quick with that, with a harsh bugle right over. Just one single grunt, hit him with that bugle, and that right there is a very demanding, urgent tone. It's like crossing a line in the sand. I dare you come over right here. And that's what you're telling him. That's what he'll tell you a lot of times when we're dealing with herd bulls and we're calling them. When I hear that one single grunt and that hard-hitting challenge or even a hard roundup, I want to see you get over here, that's what he'll do. He'll hit that grunt first, not after the bugle. And when you have that, you better be ready because that bull is on his way. There is no messing around whatsoever. And so those are things you look for, and if you can beat the bull to it because you can see it's getting heated and it's and you guys are hitting note for note, man, that's when you hit him with that sound right there. You've drawn the line in the sand right there, and you have told him, dared him to actually come over to this area right here where I'm at. And that's what you're doing. You're daring him right there. So, and it's done through that intensity. You're not giving him a lip ball. You're not giving him a location. You're not giving him any of those. You're playing the moment, and
slapping
that's why
him in the face.
that's really what you're doing, and that's why I'm trying to say, instead of saying you need more intensity or emotion or less, I throw a name to it so you can see the level of intensity or emotion that's being used or necessary in that situation. Whether it's really low and you're still slow playing the bull, don't override your intensity or emotion in that. You need to stay controlled and calm because it's going to escalate. And as you see it escalate, and if he's not escalating enough after two or three bugles, then you raise the bar just a little, not too much. And you'll notice that he will keep in, you know, he'll play that same game and he'll start raising it. And that's when you get him. That's the art right there of being a good caller, slow playing him, and making him commit, get him on the defense to make that final move. It doesn't mean I never move up, but I want him to make the final move. Because if I make the final move where he's looking for me everywhere, I'm in trouble.
Right.
Because he could see almost any little movement. But when I get him covering that last 30 or 40 yards, I got him. Because, you know, I mean, I know I got him. I mean, at least you hope you do. There's never any guarantees. But that's how we're doing it. And that's how we're doing with these over-the-counter bull. Heck, we do it on draw hunts. We do it on every bull out there. Once you start seeing the effectiveness and how well it works, it's not like you change anything. Like when I went to that a really nice Wyoming unit last year, it was really a good one. And my son and I used this same exact tactic on that bull he killed there as I did with the one he killed in Idaho with a longbow. I did the exact tack. I didn't change because I got that bull. He was like a real lazy, lethargic, and he was moving away from me. And I was chasing him away from me with bugles. Because if you ever get in a situation and you want bulls to move out of your way, bugle at them as you go. Just keep bugling every 75 yards. They'll start pushing out of your way. They won't stay there.
Right.
And one thing led to another where we decided that, hey, maybe we need to see what this bull looked like. And so I turned my sounds around and recalled this bull from 300-something yards away. I called him to 18 yards.
Wow.
345-inch bull that we were trying to chase off. His bugle did not sound anything like what he was. But anyway.
Not funny how that happens.
Well, it very rarely happens to us. That was one of the rare times I was ever fooled. I said, no kidding. I mean, I just would have swore I'd have lost a pink slip on my truck over that. I would have never thought that bull was anything like that. I thought it was a 5-point, to be honest with you.
In 2013, we were chasing. I had a tag here in Arizona, and I could swear, you know, like how Spike had that like real melodic, you know, like
exactly yodel a little bit.
Yodel, yeah. And this bull was doing, I'm like, this has got to be a Spike. And luckily, I was like, I let curiosity kill the cat, and I kept
That's
going,
good.
I kept going in and going in on it just because I had to see for myself, you know. And shit, it was, and he wasn't a giant bull, but I ended up letting him go. I ended up giving him a
But it
pass
was a
because
lot bigger than you thought. What was it?
he was a 5x5, 300
Oh,
inch
wow.
bull.
That's a
Yeah.
big three. I went out
Well,
more
I mean,
times
I'm
than
in
a lot of
Arizona, so I
300-inch
was.
5x5 go.
Well, it was actually the first morning of the hunt.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I actually ended up shooting a 350 on that hunt.
Oh, wow.
So I'm glad
Good call.
I let him go. But yeah, and I was like, man, I couldn't believe it. So now I don't almost if I hear a bugle and I can try to, verify what it is, I'm
Yeah.
going to.
No, absolutely. 100%. And I've fallen into the trap before. I can remember sitting on a mountainside and hearing a bull bugle and going, "What? That isn't a bull. Dang it, we got a hunter." My
Yeah,
son
yeah,
was
yeah.
there, and he go, "Dad, no, that's a bull, Dad." I go, "No, it isn't. I mean, I've heard of thousands of bulls bugle, and that's not a bull." He goes, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure." He goes, "There's nobody over there." And I go, "Well, somebody came in from somewhere, because that is not a bull. They're just not right." Well, the
Right.
next thing you know, here comes a little 4-point walking out of there. It was a bull
Yeah.
the whole entire time, but it doesn't happen that often that we get fooled. But when it does, it just humbles you and it lets you know that, hey, dude, you don't
Yeah.
know everything. I mean, it's just a matter of sometimes you do need to get eyes on them. You just have to. But no, it's fun.
I don't, before we get up any go down any other roads, do you think we can do a lip ball without the tube?
Oh, I can do it, no problem. It's just
Okay,
if it'll pick it up. Oh, yeah.
yeah, let's try that real quick. I just want people to kind of hear this. Maybe just in succession, let's do this. Do the roundup,
Which you
the
did really
lip
well
ball.
there.
And do the lip ball first, but then we'll do the round up the lip ball and then the challenge all one after another. 'Cause I feel like people kind of mix those three up. Everybody knows a location bugle,
Well, you
I
have to
feel. I feel.
understand that a challenge and a lip ball are really close to the same thing.
Right.
The,
It's
it's
just the
just that the
intensity.
lip ball is a little more intense. The challenge usually doesn't have nearly the challenge can be you're monitoring your challenge when I'm doing it, and elk does too.
Yeah.
You just don't get the biggest challenge scream he can do the first time you hear him.
Right.
But it can escalate, you see, and get rougher and coarser until it can finally even get to a lip ball, you see. And that is the ultimate right there. The lip ball is the ultimate, whether he's trying to call his cows together or whether he's trying to keep a bull away. It's the
Right.
ultimate intensity or emotion that a bull can deliver. And that's really what. So I don't want. Listeners to confuse that. Like there's a big difference there. It's just that their emotion or intensity is like your dog barking. You see, I mean, when a dog starts bark, 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 you know there's something there. But when you hear him go, and he's, that thing, it's probably a very close encounter. The rapid barking may not be as close, but it's seeing an intruder, another dog, a cat, squirrel. You see at a more of a distance, but once it starts getting closer and closer and in his face, that's when he's baring his teeth, and that's when he's getting the growl. He's getting as serious as things can get. Imagine this is what a bull is doing. You see, as two bulls start coming closer and closer, even if they don't get a visual, it's their sounds that are intensifying the situation. So I want people to understand that. Take your pet as a learning thing right here. They do these things. It's a sign of intensity and their sound or emotion, and this is what elk are doing. So. It's a really good analogy there of putting those two together and trying to get in that situation in your mind. So, I mean, as far as a location bugle, let me here's a location bugle with no bugle tube.
Okay. Are you doing it with yours or am I doing it?
Could you hear it at all?
Nope.
All right, and then it didn't do it. So
Yeah.
I gave a location bugle. And my favorite location bugle when I'm giving them like that is I never give a growl. I don't give any growls at all. I go straight into a look. Yeah. It cut you off too.
It?
Yep. You went. Yeah. I started your. You started and then it just cut you off completely.
Yeah, it's got
Yeah.
like an anti-clipping.
I know it. We need
That's
to. We
good.
need to shut that off.
Just gotta figure it out.
Because that was a good bugle you were starting out with. I could hear it going, all right, and then it just stopped you.
Dang.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You know what? Whoever has the app, go to the app. All these sounds are on it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There are. And I show you in detail on the app, in a video clip, how to make each one of those sounds. If you go to lip balls, I'm showing you the lip ball and how to make that buzz behind it. How to add your throat inflection. I'm showing you the location bugle, the roundup bugle, the nervous grunt, chuckles, grunt, everything. And so it's not just hearing it. Is I show you how to make that with a mouth read. Everyone has its own video. So, you know, a lot of people have it now. I mean, thousands of people have picked up that app. And so for those that don't have it or are considering it, you know, this really is a good teaching aid with it, and as well as all the tips.
I like it. And I like it if you're in a place where you got, you know, you got your cell phone with you and you forget what's going on, you hear an elk doing something, you can kind of jump on it and listen to, oh, okay, that's what he's making.
No, it is. It's really neat. I find myself listening to the real elk sounds because they're just so, I mean, they're real elk, you know, how do you get better than that? And I even love reading a lot of the stuff I wrote behind it because there's a lot of written content of the representation of each individual sound and how to handle it. And I think the next move that we are doing on it is to actually have a whole entire feature of slow plan and how to incorporate that and when to use it and when not to use it, even though there's so much info on it now. And whatnot with the full moon stuff and wallow hunting and sequences and tactics. We've added a lot. So nice. There's hours of stuff on there for people. But anyway, to make that sound, you know, whether you have the DVD or CDs or that, maybe on another episode we'll be able to delete that function on there.
I'll just use the – I have another system that I can use there.
Fortunately, most people have heard these sounds. What they haven't associated is how the intensity changes from one to the other, which dictates the message or the urgency behind it or the lack of urgency. And once guys start getting that down and they realize that that's what they're playing on when they hear an elk or even a cow sound, because it works the same with cows, you know, whether they're social sounds or that she starts getting more rapid or the cow sound is longer. She's sending out a different message. And so as we go into the woods and we start hearing these sounds, or we get in a situation where we're trying to call these elk over to us, we're willing to shoot, you know, a raghorn or even a cow, start using this regathering sound, you see, and here's a social. Let me show people, because it will share that with them. Here's a normal social sound you'll hear from cows and calves alike. That's just them mingling. You know, they're going from feeding to bedding. They're keeping in contact, and they're usually in timber. They're more vocal in timber than they are in a sagebrush flat where they can see one another. They can still talk out there, don't get me wrong. But in the timber, as they're moving to and from, you'll notice them make those sounds. Now, if they got a little separated and mom can't find them, or she's trying to call another group that she hears over to her, she'll use what's called, I call it a regathering sound. Some people call it an assembly sound. I don't like assembly. To me, it sounds churchy, and I don't like that. It just does. And I like, she's trying to regather them or call him or her way to gather them. And regardless of what phrase you want, I like the elk part of it, you know. So here's the sound that they'll go to, and you'll notice the difference between that and the social talk. You notice how she's coming off her sound. It's longer, and she's, and she's dropping it off. You see, she's sending a different message. As opposed to just, I'm over here, you're over there, we're all comfortable and we're all doing well, we're all keeping pace. No, where are you now? I don't hear you saying anything. And that's what she's doing. Gather back, get closer, guys, you're getting too far apart. And that's all she's doing. Now, if they still don't respond to that, she will get even more vocal with it, a little louder. And now listen to her tone. I don't want to get loud with it because it'll shut us off. But notice the length.
That actually did shut off.
Oh man, it has legs to it. It's about 3 to 4 seconds long of it, like a mew. It's just one. You try it on your end. Go along with it. Just me. I was only doing a note. No, there's no contact buzz in it. Longer. It must be cutting you off. It's doing the same thing. Yeah, that's better. Longer. Even longer. There you go. It has length. So, folks, if you hear that, that's
Yes.
what's going on, is they're separated up there. Just get up there because there's elk moving around. And this, they're trying to congregate them, recongregate them back, regather them back. And that's what they're doing. That's churchy too. But you see what I mean? It's bringing them back to the fold, so to speak. So
Yeah.
there's no reason to run out there and start bugling, cow calling everywhere. You know, let them do the work right there when they're willing to do it like that. But you notice the difference in the emotion, the intensity, even though the sounds are being elongated. That's what you're looking for, is they're changing their tone, and that's what's changing their desire or their request of what they're looking for or wanting. And again, the bull sounds are no different. And so when people start thinking like this, in their mindset, even though we were attaching a name to it so that it makes it easier to understand, I tell you what, you are going to be elk killers because you're going to know what to use. So if you get in a situation and you're just trying to do a setup because you're in fresh sign and there's no sounds, go to those kinds of sounds. Set up and do that regathering tone. Just start mewing it out there because you know there's elk nearby. It'll bring them over to you. You should see my. I had my brother-in-law with me. We had a bull bugling like crazy, so we're slipping in and trying to get on him. And all of a sudden, another hunter came in from below us that we didn't know, and it pushed the elk, and we could see him going around the hill. And they're only a couple hundred yards away from us, and they started going around and around, and we could see two cows, two spikes, and we knew there was a big bull over there. But we didn't see him, but we knew him, we heard him. So we figured, oh, he followed him out. So we took off like crazy in the direction. We ran for maybe 200 yards. I don't know how fast the elk ran, if they slowed down and went to a walk, but I told him, I said, all right, I'm going to try to call him back right now. Let's just see what happens. So I tried calling, and I went straight to that regathering sound, real long mews, just real long. And I kept hammering and hammering. After about a dozen of them, I stopped. Waited a minute, did it again, and all of a sudden we could hear crack, pop, crack, pop. Here come those two cows and two spikes. I mean, they walked within 15 yards of us, looking, looking, looking everywhere. And we let them walk by, figuring that hopefully that bull was with them, and he wasn't there. But here,
Oh,
that's
that's
my
actually.
point, is it brought those elk right back through there. And they were running like crazy from everything. The point is I have taken elk using that sound, but in that situation, we didn't. But it brought him right back through. Now, what do you think would have happened if I just went with some social cow muse or just a bugle or
It
even
doesn't make sense for the situation.
nothing, zero? It didn't
Yeah.
ask an action out of them. Whereas there, I was asking an action out of them, and it brought them right over to me. And this, some minutes went by. This wasn't like they just come trotting over in 30 seconds and it was easy to stay there. No,
Right.
it took time and patience just to sit there and saying, they can come, they can come. I know it. I've done this before. Just wait. And here they come. And so guys can do things like that if they're in good sign and there's nothing really going on. It's kind of quiet. And you know what? It didn't happen to me then, but sure enough, you guys tried, and you have the bull following in tow with the cows. But
Yeah.
so you never know when things are like that and are quiet. There's always something you can try or do to, you know, try to have something appear. You just don't know. You don't give up and go back to camp because you're nothing's bugling or calling. That, matter of fact, that's one of our fortes, that we feel more elk tags with quiet bulls, quiet elk, than any other time. Because we don't give up. And many times, if I'm going to go, I'm not going to use the regathering sound, to be honest with you, because I know I'm going to pull in the unwanted real quick, and I don't want them. So when I'm hitting the quiet times like that, I'm immediately going to my little slow play version and increase my intensity with the bull who has a hot cow. And that's all it takes. I'm acting like I do hear a bull bugle. I'm using the exact sequence. I don't change anything. And it will pull elk in. that you didn't even know where they were or how many were there. It will pull the bulls in first generally. And that's why I usually will tailor my calling toward the bulls, then doing a cold calling setup or this regathering sound, because rare does a 5 or 6 point show up first. They just don't. Usually the cows and spikes do. And so, you know, by having confidence in that sequence of going into it, it's not a breeding sequence. It's I'm just using that little slow play sequence, because a breeding sequence is usually applied by us when we know there's breeding taking place. There's 3 or 4 bulls. One's a herd bull. The rest are satellites, and they're just going nuts over the situation. If I'm looking for any of those bulls in that pocket other than the herd bull, I set up within 150 yards, no closer, don't need to, and go straight into the breeding sequence, which is much more active than a slow play by a mile. And it's on the video. It's on the app. I show a DVD on or an audio clip. Video. Yeah. Well, it's not. Yeah. What is it?
Video. It's video.
Yeah, it's a video clip. And I show them right there how to do it, the setup. And, I mean, this is like money. You go into a breeding sequence when you have those bulls right there and they're all talking. You got them coming over. You are going to – that's what pulled the satellites over there in the first place. But anyway – not trying to get off the subject, but, you know, there's just so many little things that hunters can do to up their odds to make sure they're one of those 10% every year that are taking their elk. Really, I mean, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
When you got the right tools.
And you got the time to do it.
Yeah. So, you know,
I think that's what guys focus fail the most, not fail, but that's where they had the hardest time with, is the fact that they don't have the time to sit and practice or learn the different, you know, sounds. So like, and I was the same way for a long time, especially with elk, because most of my elk hunting was here in Arizona. We're spoiled here, you know.
Yeah,
we could slam a car door and sometimes they'll bugle, you know. But I mean, that was the case, and it's not really that way anymore. Yeah. I feel like they're getting more and more call shy. But one of the things that, like, I would do, and I know a lot of guys have done this as well, is you pick one or two sounds. You know, hey, I'm going to master these one or two sounds because this is all I need to master. Not necessarily even knowing, you know, what that sound is saying or what its definition is.
You're relying on lady luck a lot.
Right.
Because you hit on something important there. We as hunters, to be successful, do not need to know how to make all these sounds. We just want to read the emotion or intensity in the calling and the change of it as things progress. That is what we're trying to read. That's much more important to go to China and understand everything you hear that they're saying, as opposed to knowing the whole language yourself. You don't need to know. You just need to pick out a few words like you're saying, and you can get by if you can understand most of what you're hearing. And that's what you're trying to do in the elk world. You're seeing what their attitude is. And one thing I want to mention before we get away from what we just talked about. If hunters would just practice at home or when they get to camp, because maybe a lot of these partners don't live close by, get to camp and do your practice in your scenarios. Do your little breeding sequence. Do your slow play. Know what your role is. Are we going to do a triangle where there's 3 of us and all 3 of us are going to call a cow call with a little bugle, one guy doing a little bugle raking, the other 2 are cow calling, and we're in a triangle 30 yards apart. And if an elk comes in toward one of them, that guy shuts up so it gives the other 2 the note that something's coming. Joe stopped over here. Let's keep our little thing up. Stay hidden. You see, but you need to practice these things. You need, you know, before you go in the woods, don't go in there and then say, okay, we're going to do a breeding sequence in a real life environment. And the other guys are getting back. What's Joe doing? That's not what he's supposed to do. You don't do that right now. So practice them at camp. Or if you have time at home, do these situations. Go through your calling and sharpen your skills of saying, here's what I'm going to do when I'm calling. Here's what you're going to do, and blah, blah, blah. And I even do this. You know, my son and I have done this. So we're going at a herd bull. A lot of times we got a bull so fired up, and he won't come. And so I will run in if I'm the shooter as the cow caller, and I'm going at him excited, and I make my son stay back at that 125-yard range, and I have him giving me roundup bugles and then intensifying it, going to the lip ball, trying to call his cow back. And I'm still going forward to the other bull. And this anchors that real bull. He just stays right there, and he's excited. He keeps calling that cow all the way. And, I mean, this sells the situation, and the ruckus you're making and raking and hitting. I'm telling you, you hit some of these over-the-counter bulls, and you really got to sell yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes just the easiest little sounds don't get it done. And if there's three of us, a lot of times what we'll do on some of these cagey herd bulls that you just have trouble with, we still keep the guy back, the bugler, which he's talking to his cow, though. And so now what we have is a shooter up front, and we have the third guy, which is he's right behind the cow caller. And he'll stay back about 30 to 35 yards from the shooter, and he's making the cow sounds as he's accepting the invite from the bull. And my son or whoever it is being the bull, calling the cow back. But the shooter is 30, 35 yards in front of that cow caller, and that bull, all he's keying on is what he hears, the cow sound and the bugle. He has no clue that guy is up there. You see, so sometimes on those tricky bulls, you start getting closer, they start putting a little bit of distance, they're antsy. They may keep that 30, 40 yards from you all the time in the timber, but he never sees that shooter. So, you know, when you can incorporate three guys really easy in a hunt, sometimes four, but only if you practice it. Practice right. It beforehand. Get apart. Make sure the sounds are right and everything you're doing is believable, and your caller behind you is paying attention to the shooter, not getting too close to him, and making sure he's not being seen. So all these things come into play. And you see what I mean, but if you can practice these little routines before you get into the woods and screw things up, because right. You're going, oh, shit, I've never done that. It just helps. I think it can certainly up your success rate. Much more so than not doing it.
Right, right. Well, awesome, man. I think we overloaded everybody's brain.
Hey, now this is good stuff here. This is good stuff.
Now they need to get on your app and start learning some of this stuff and checking out some of the videos and really that way all the stuff we talked about starts kind of falling into place. You know. I looked at it a bunch before I went elk hunting last year, and my plan was to like kind of re-jump into all of it again here in August before I start going elk hunting again this year. Mm-hmm. That way it stays fresh in my mind, you know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You're with experience after a while, it's real easy for you to like, recognize the different vocalizations and stuff, and it becomes like old hat. Where, me being a student of what you're doing, I find that I have to like really stop and think and what was that? You know, and then, you know, so I think it's a.
We all go through that. Repetition is what helps it sink into our mind. And the fact is that taking it in is easier to recall when you get in that situation. It's not that, like you're trying to memorize or remember everything. It's the situation. And then you're recalling something like, oh, yeah, this is what we're, you know, that might be a good thing to consider. And that's really what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, awesome, man. I want to thank you for coming back on and,
Hey, no, it's
educated. I'm sorry that the system failed us and I wasn't.
Yeah, no problem.
I wasn't a good backup caller, but.
I know you were. I bet it was going out on you too.
But maybe next time I'll use my other recording system and we won't have that clipping issue and we'll be able to, get into some more calling stuff.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah.
All right, brother. Well, I will talk with you soon. If I don't catch you before the opener, and good luck to you.
All right, sounds good, and good luck to you this year too, John. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Hey, since we're having some technical difficulties, my one system for using podcasts has an anti-clipping, so we can't do like real high-pitched or loud sounds. I decided to record these different bugles and elk sounds for you, I will do my best to do Paul justice and show you these different sounds.
So here's a location bugle.
Challenge bugle. Lip ball. Nervous grunt. Roundup bugle. Hopefully with that and Paul's knowledge, you guys will be armed to be a little bit more successful this elk season. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And remember, if you want to follow along with all the other stuff we got going on, check out johnstallone.me. That's my blog. A lot of stuff goes hand in hand with these podcasts there. It's real simple to just subscribe. You just go to the top right-hand corner, and there's a little box that you put your email in, and boom, you're in. So check that out. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. So the boys over at Triple Threat Performance and I are going to be putting on a Hunt Fit session on August 4th at 8 a.m. at the Triple Threat Performance facility in Scottsdale. 8 a.m. August 4th. The class size is going to be limited, so if you want in on it, you need to RSVP me. Either hit me up on my Instagram or Facebook, or go to the blog johnstallone.me and send me an email. There'll also be some information on the class on my blog. So if you go to johnstallone.me, just search it, you'll find it. It's going to be a good class. Going to do a lot of cool stuff. Help you learn some new movements, possibly. Take a look at the way you're doing things now. And who knows, it might be a program you want to get into and you'll be working out alongside me. So we'd love to see you there. So please RSVP, tell a friend. Triple Threat Performance, August 4th, 8 a.m. Thank you. So the boys over at Triple Threat Performance and I are going to be putting on a Hunt Fit session on August 4th at 8 a.m. at the Triple Threat Performance facility in Scottsdale. 8 a.m. August 4th. The class size is going to be limited, so if you want in on it, you need to RSVP me. Either hit me up on my Instagram or Facebook, or go to the blog johnstallone.me and send me an email. There'll also be some information on the class on my blog. So if you go to johnstallone.me, just search it, you'll find it. It's going to be a good class. Going to do a lot of cool stuff. Help you learn some new movements, possibly. Take a look at the way you're doing things now. And who knows, it might be a program you want to get into and you'll be working out alongside me. So we'd love to see you there. So please RSVP, tell a friend. Triple Threat Performance, August 4th, 8 a.m. Thank you.